As you keep your mind on me, I will keep you in perfect peace. Fix your attention and your eyes, your hopes and your dreams on me. And I will sustain you. I will fulfill you. I will satisfy you with good things. So rest and relax. Be at peace, for I am your Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Well, I'm glad to be at VCF tonight, and I'm glad that you're here tonight, too. You know, we do have a strong tower in God. And when things in life happen, things that we didn't plan on, things just kind of occurred, might have been bad things, but we always have someone to pull us through. And he's right there with you in your darkest hour. And he does great things. I know if I hadn't known the Lord, I probably wouldn't be here tonight. I probably would have been gone a long time ago. Amen. We'll open up your Bibles tonight to James chapter 1. And we're going to get into this a little bit further tonight. Anybody addicted to Jesus out there? In James chapter 1, verse 21, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But, isn't it interesting that he tells us to receive the word, but then he tells us to do something with what we received? All right? Receiving the word is only half. Getting it into your heart, that's only part of it. Now you've got to translate it into action. Then he says, but be doers of the word. So we're supposed to receive the word, then we're supposed to do the word, and not be hearers only, deceiving our own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, or you're looking into a mirror, and he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway or immediately forgets what manner of man he was. So I just want to focus on two things tonight. I want to talk about our hearing, and I want to talk about not being a forgetful hearer. Because forgetfulness is really harmful to us. So James is telling us here that in order to please God and do his will, you must first of all hear what he says. And then secondly, you've got to obey it wholeheartedly. All right? The hearing of it is the receiving of it. But then you got to take what you hear and you got to do something with it. You have to have action, okay? Go with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, familiar scripture. Verse 17. It says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How does faith come to you? By hearing the word of God. Notice it didn't say by hearing your feelings or hearing the opinions of others. By hearing the word, faith comes, okay? Can faith come to you any other way? The only way that faith can come to our hearts is by hearing what God said, right? God's word is what God said. Whether it's written, whether it's spoken, it's coming directly from God. And when God speaks to you, when you see God's word, when it's written to you, or when you hear it, faith comes to your heart, Right now, you have faith in your heart. Okay? And whatever God says to you, you can do. All right? If God said it, you can do it. It doesn't matter if you really understand it. You can simply do it. Okay? Now, he tells us that faith comes by hearing, but he doesn't tell us how faith is released. Faith is released through action, by what we do. Okay, you can look at several examples, but we're not going to take time to do that tonight. I want to focus on this. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to focus with our hearing a little bit. Do we have our ears on tonight? Okay. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 3. He says this phrase, he said, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it." So why do you want to hear? You want to hear so that you can do it, because hearing is receiving it, and the doing it is putting it into action. Okay? The doing it is how you release what you heard. When the man who was lame at the gate beautiful, and Peter and John came to him, right? He was begging, because that's all that he could do. And he looked at them, he was looking at them for something. He was looking at them hoping that they had something, some money to give him, right? But Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you." What did he say to him? He said, "Rise and walk." Okay? Now, that was a word that the Holy Spirit led Peter to speak to this man. This man heard it. Now, before, this man could not walk. He could not pick up his mat. But when he heard something different, when he heard the truth, he was able to do it. And what did he do? He jumped up, Peter took him, and he leaped and walked and he praised God. Okay, that what he heard and what he did with what he heard changed his life. So if you want your life to change, okay, let's say you're facing a situation. Doesn't matter what the situation is. You got to hear what God's saying about that situation. What does God say? What is God saying to you? Okay? And then once you hear what God says, then you can do what he says, and then that's when you're going to get the results. Okay? So he says, "Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it." Why? "That it may be well with you." Isn't that awesome? Hear it, do it, so that it can be well with you. All right? "And that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, in the land that flows with milk and honey." So they had God's word about going into this land and increasing. They heard it, they did it, and it went well with them. It went well with everyone who heard what God said and did what God said. What about the people who just heard it and didn't do anything with it? It's not going to go well with them. You got to hear it and do it. All right? Go to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 34. We want to prepare you to be people of faith. Notice what he says here. Wisdom is talking, and who is our wisdom? Jesus. Jesus is our wisdom, right? "Blessed is the man that hears me." Me is talking about wisdom, or the wisdom of God. What's the man that hears him? He's blessed. Okay? Notice now, he said, "Watching daily at my..." See, the watching is the observing, okay? You're hearing and you're seeing, so "and waiting at the posts of my doors." Now, some people don't think that waiting is an action, but Isaiah says, "Wait on the Lord and you shall" what? "Renew your strength." So sometimes waiting might be the only thing that you need to do. but you're waiting on God. You're actively serving God. You're ready when he needs you. Okay? So he's listening, he's hearing, and he is watching, and he's waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso finds me finds life. Finding would be the action, right? And you'll obtain favor from the Lord. So when you find him, you're gonna get life and you're gonna get favor. See, the one who does what God said, the one who does what he hears God saying, is the one who's blessed, is the one who's gonna get the benefits, is the one who's gonna be enriched. Okay? All right, go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Why are we looking up a lot of scripture tonight? Because we want you chock full of faith. We want you to leave here tonight as faith powerhouses. And do you realize that you don't need a whole lot of faith to make big differences? Because Jesus said, if you had the faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Now, a mustard seed isn't that big. It's a small. But he said, with that, you can move mountains. It's not how much faith you have. It's what you do with what you have. Okay? There's a lot of people that may have a big bag of faith, but they're not doing anything with it. And when we don't do with what we hear, we short-circuit God's power. Okay, Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. I want you to see the characteristics of good ground. Ask yourself this question, am I good ground? Notice what it says. But that on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having what? Heard the what? The word. And then what do they do with what they heard? They keep it, and then what? So good ground is a person that has a good heart, okay? And that good heart, it's an honest and good heart. Having heard the word, they keep it. They bring forth fruit with patience. How many know that it does take patience? When you plant a seed, you're not going to see the fruit of it tomorrow sometimes, okay? If you plant a seed, there's going to be a period of time. This is where walking by faith comes in. You got to walk by faith and not by sight. What are you walking to? You're walking to the manifestation. You already believe it. You already have it. You're just walking it out, and pretty soon you're going to run into it. All right? James tells us in verse 19 of chapter 1, he says, be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. Isn't that interesting? Well, even God created us with two ears and one mouth, right? Twice as much listening as to talking. Okay? So we got to be listening. We got to be hearing what God is saying. And then go over to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. We're talking about the blessing of being, of doing God's word. Proverbs 4:20. Notice what he says. My son, he's also talking to his daughters. Attend to my words. What's he saying? Pay attention to my words. Why? Because my words contain faith. My words contain life. My words contain power. Attend to my words. I like that he said words. Okay? And incline your ear unto my sayings. So you got to pay attention to what he says. Then you got to get closer to what he says. Incline your ear. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? They are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Can we just say this for a moment? Say, God's word is health and medicine to all my flesh. Right now, you just release God's word to every part of your body. And every part of your body is receiving life and health. Life, that word health is also medicine. So it doesn't matter what part. How many parts did God create? How many parts can God fix? Amen. But notice the first part, attend to my words. When you're sick, the number one thing you can do is get at least a few scriptures that specifically talk about healing and find out what God says about it. Think about it. I mean, when you're sick, find these scriptures and think about what they're saying. Let those scriptures get in you. Okay? I mean, if you saw a nice piece of fried chicken in front of you, how does that chicken go from the plate to in you? You either have to cut it up or take it in your hands. You have to bite into it, and you have to chew it, and it goes down into your body, and then it goes through a process of digestion, and then your body distributes the good parts, and it gets rid of the excess. And then you gain strength from that. But notice, your strength did not come while the chicken was on the plate. Your strength came after it got in you. See, your strength from God's word is going to come when you get it in you. Not when it's out here, but when it's in here. Then he goes on to say in verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What goes in and what goes out of your heart affects your life. Put away from you from a froward mouth and perverse lips. Did you know that a froward mouth and perverse lips will destroy? When we're speaking frowardly and when we're speaking perversely, we're not speaking like God. We're speaking like something else. And it's going to, then if we're speaking that way, we haven't allowed the word to get in us. Because if we allowed the word to get in us, it would come out of us. Out of the abundance of the heart, what speaks? The mouth. What's in your heart will come out of your mouth, whether good or bad. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. When you hear God's word and it enters into your heart, it will affect your life. All right? You've got to live it out. You've got to walk it out. You've got to be a living example of what God is saying in our lives. And how we live does affect our faith. Amen? Okay? Now, let's look at some of the negative sides of people that didn't hear, all right? Or they heard or they didn't do anything with it, okay? Go to Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25. I'm not going too fast for you, am I? If I talk a little faster, you just listen a little faster, all right? I'm going to get you out early. That's my goal. Let's look at verse 4, starting with verse 4, Jeremiah 25. And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not hearkened. You have not inclined your ear to hear. Isn't it interesting how you can be a place and you can hear God's message, but there's a barrier there. It doesn't get into you. All right? They said, turn again now, everyone, from his evil way and from evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given unto you and your fathers forever and ever. Go not after gods and serve them and worship them and provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. You have not hearkened unto me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words. What would prevent someone from not hearing God's words. Sometimes when you hear God's words, it doesn't line up with your experiences, and so therefore you reject it. Or it doesn't line up with what you were taught. Anybody besides me ever had to change your theology? When you discovered things that maybe you heard and weren't right, and now you discovered the truth, and now you got a choice, right? You got to change. If you're really serious about living for God, then you got to let His Word govern you. And if something you believed is wrong and you find what's true in His Word, then His Word doesn't have to change. So then who has to change? We do, right? But when you change and go God's way, you'll be super blessed. All right? So not listening to God will provoke God to anger. Wow. What did Jesus say? If you go into a city and you preach the good news and they don't receive you, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to shake the dust off your feet and move on. There were people who saw Jesus in the flesh and they did not receive His words. Okay? Matthew 7:28. Those who hear God's word, but they don't obey, the Bible calls them foolish. So when people hear God's word and they don't do what it says, the Bible calls them foolish. They're a foolish builder. They haven't built their house on the rock. And if you don't build on the rock, it's going to get wiped away eventually. All right? Go to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And look at verse 31. This is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man is pleading with Abraham. And he's all of a sudden now he's concerned about his family's eternal place. He died. He can't go back, but now all of a sudden, because he's in the wrong place, he suddenly has an inclination for evangelism now. It's amazing how when you die and you can't go back, how you want to wish you could. Verse 30 says, and he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto the dead, they will repent." But Abraham said to him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead." What's the Moses and the prophets? It's this right here, isn't it? Listen, if you don't listen to this, which is the basic way that God reveals Himself to us, what makes you think you're going to listen to anything else? Now, while this guy was alive, he wasn't concerned about whether or not his family was going to heaven or hell, but once he died, he certainly was. It's amazing how our priorities can change, right? Okay, and then James tells us that if we hear the word and don't obey it, we're going to forget it. We're going to become a forgetful hearer. We're going to come before a mirror. We're going to see how we are. We're going to walk away, and we're going to forget the image that we just saw. We're going to forget what kind of man we are if you walk away, all right? Listen, if you don't put God's word into practice in your life, it's easy to forget it. If we don't keep it before us, it's easy to forget it. You know, sometimes people want to think that doing God's word is like riding a bicycle. You never forget. But if God said, "Don't be a forgetful hearer," then obviously there is the possibility exists that we could forget. Okay? So what does it mean to forget God's word? What occurs when we are forget God's word? All right? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And look at verse 9. See, this is why God tells us to go to the word daily, day and night. We've got to keep the word at the forefront of our life. That's why he told the Israelites to talk about it when you're at home, when you're on the way, when you go to bed. Always talk about the word. Why? You're keeping it at the forefront so you don't forget it. The way to not forget God's word is to keep it ever before you. Always look to it when there's a problem. Let it be the first source that you go to when things happen in your life. Go to the word. Go to the rock. All right? Look at verse 9. Take heed to yourself. Keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but teach them to your sons and to your sons' sons. When you forget God's word, it leaves your heart. A forgetful hearer is someone that allowed the word of God to get out of their heart. It's like losing something from your safe. It's like losing something valuable. Okay? Go to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 10. And it shall be, when the Lord your God shall have brought you into the land which he swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you the great and goodly cities which you didn't build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, and wells that dug that you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you shall have eaten and be full, then beware lest you forget the Lord, which brought you forth from the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall swear by his name. You shall not go after gods, other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. When someone forgets about God, they become an idolater. How quickly did it take Aaron to forget about who brought him out of Egypt? Moses was gone for 40 days. And within 40 days, he built a calf to worship. He forgot about all the good things that God did for them. He forgot about how they were delivered from Egypt, how they went through the Red Sea, how God provided food for them in the wilderness. And Moses is gone for 40 days, and he built a golden calf. So when you're a forgetful hearer, you become an idolater. If you don't know what God said, then you're going to be influenced by something else. Let me go over these quickly. In Deuteronomy 8, verses 11 through 20, a forgetful hearer becomes a prideful person. You start to rely on yourself, on your laurels, on your experiences, on your expertise. All right? Forgetfulness leads to pride, self-sufficiency, and self-righteousness when you become a forgetful hearer. That means, okay, what that means is you stopped reading the word every day. And then every day turns into every week. And then every week turns into every month. You see how farther away I'm getting? See, and the further I get away from God, the harder it is to remember what he spoke to me, what he's telling me, what he wants me to do. See, if I'm not actively keeping the word of God in front of me, if I'm not actively referring to it, I'm going to get into a heap of trouble. Because when you start walking away from the light, what do you get into? Darkness. When you walk away from the source of light, it gets darker. And when it gets dark, it's hard to find your way around. You begin to wander. And then you run into things that you didn't know were there. Or you maybe knew that you were there, but you forgot because you couldn't see him. Okay? All right. The Bible tells us in Psalm 103, verse 2, don't forget God's benefits. How many know God's a God of benefits? I tell you what, I have a passion to see people find out what their inheritance is and to possess it and start walking in it. I get excited when people find what God has given them and they embrace it and they start doing it. It starts working in their life. You know, we have the privilege. We came to a church that we didn't build. We came to a church that we didn't furnish. God brought us to a building with all the equipment, with everything in it, including people. And so this is like an inheritance to me. I mean, I have a greater respect for inheritance because this building, someone else built this, but God just brought me here at the right time. I didn't have to build it. Thank God. Doesn't mean we won't build something, but all right. Hebrews 2:1 says, give the more earnest heed to what you have heard. You got to be a diligent hearer. A diligent hearer is a diligent doer. And did you know 2 Peter 1:9, forgetfulness causes you to fall short of God's best. When these things are not in you, you fall short of God's best. Okay. In the last couple minutes here, I want to give you, it's kind of a word that I gave to the men, but I want to kind of give it to you, right? Now, we all have a work to do from God, don't we? Every one of you have been created for good works that were prepared beforehand. Before you ever were born, God had good works with you in mind for you to do them. Okay? Our number one work is we've got to please God. All right? In pleasing God, here's what that means. You've got to praise him. You've got to promote his business. You've got to pray for his way, and you've got to proclaim his message. All right? You've got to worship him, you've got to work for him, and you've got to win others to Jesus. In pleasing God, you've got to study his word, you've got to serve wholeheartedly, and you've got to sanctify your heart. Sanctify just means set it apart for God's purposes. And then you've got to believe him, you've got to be still and listen to him, and you've got to be quick to repent and forgive. Here's number two in our work is we've got to honor the Lord. What does that mean? You've got to give your best, you've got to go forward, and you've got to gain his favor. You've got to be faithful, fervent, fruitful, and forgiving. And I'm just going to make copies of this because it's a lot. You've got to do God's will, follow after his way, and walk worthy of the Lord. And then the third thing in our work for God is we've got to trust God wholeheartedly. What does that mean? You've got to apply his principles to your heart. You've got to accept his word as truth and just be the apple of his eye. Did you know that you're the apple of God's eye? You've got to be filled with faith, be free from bondage, and flee youthful lusts. You've got to value his wisdom, do things his way, and watch yourself and warn others. And under trusting God, you got to be willing to change your way. You got to call on God daily, and you got to be consistent in your life. And then finally, you got to live a fruitful life. What does that mean? You've got to practice patience. You've got to do your part and allow God to perfect that which concerns you. And then under living a fruitful life, you've got to delight yourself in the Lord, develop your inner man, and do what is right in God's sight. You have to renew your mind, retool your life, and refocus your vision. You know, factories go through retooling when they're getting out a new product. That means, you know, God's given you everything that you need to do His will. He's equipped you. So maybe you need some different equipment to produce some different results. Okay? And then finally, you've got to equip yourself with His divine nature. You've got to evacuate sinful tendencies, and you've got to be ever ready. And I'm done. Why don't you stand up? All who can stand up, just stand up. If you can't stand up, you can still sit. That's fine. Let's make a confession. Say, Heavenly Father, I love your word. Your word is working mightily in me. I listen to your word daily. I look to you as often as I need to. I hear what you say. I'm willing to do and obey all that you say to me. Tonight, I make a fresh commitment to have bold faith that serves you wholeheartedly. As I follow you and do what you say, I cannot fail. I will always win. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm a doer. I'm a blessed person because I'm a doer of the Word of God. I hear it, I receive it, and I do it. I do it quickly. I obey swiftly. I obey willingly. God is my God. He is my path. He is my light. And my life is bright. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, give God some praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're not just here coming on Wednesdays and Sundays. You're not just gathering information, but you're getting revelation. And what it's going to do is you're going to put that revelation to use in your life, and it's going to transform your life. You're going to leave here a powerhouse for God. People are just going to get around you, and things are going to start happening. Glory to God. Because you're a doer of God's word, you're going to be blessed. You're blessed in the doing of it. Amen? Glory to God. Father, we give you thanks and praise for your work tonight. We ask that your Holy Spirit would quicken us, would remind us what you're speaking to us, Lord. And we give you thanks and praise for your goodness tonight. Thank you that your mighty hand is upon each and every person tonight. Lord, you're touching them. You're anointing them. You're lifting them up. And we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you.